No, I don't think so. When the Dieppe raid, I remember. When I was staying with the Morrises at Heathfield, or Cross in Hand, and the planes were going over, you know?
Yes.
And we wondered what was happening. And my husband was away. He went up to Yorkshire, I think, or something on a some.
Yes, that's right. Something. He was up there for about a week.
Yes, and I didn't know whether he'd gone or not. You see, he didn't tell me very much because they weren't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't know exactly what was happening. Mm-hmm. But I remember the first the division, they rang me up and asked whether I'd like some bread. They'd made a batch of white bread for the Morrises. I remember that. But then he came back and called in to the house to show me that he was quite all right.
All right.
Because this raid had taken place. Yeah.
Did he speak about it?
He did, yeah. But he just thought I might have been worried, and I was.
Oh, I see.
Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
Though they were very good about keeping secrets, and what you didn't know wouldn't hurt you, you know.
What about in this period, would you have run into General McNaughton many times?
Oh, yes, quite often.
What was he like, in your opinion? I mean, how did he impress you or otherwise?
He always looked very profound, but I think he was always doing a job just above the one that he had,
mm-hmm.
thinking of something just, you know,
mm-hmm.
A little bit of a dreamer or a schemer or something, I don't know. A very difficult, aloof sort of man.
Not easy to communicate with.
No. And he was tremendously shy and nervous. And we saw a lot of them, of course, when we were in Victoria, you
yes.
see, when we were stationed here. And I used to go with her to different things, and she was really very, very shy. And she had a nervous twitch in her face.
Mm-hmm.
She had very decided ideas about people she liked and people she didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was in politics, I believe when he was being running, she would stop people on the street and tell them why they should vote for him. And,
is that?
So, yes, she did. Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Yes. She had very special friends. She had was very, you know, not open to. I think if people made a point of making a special friend of her, they did. You see, she just didn't make friends with just everybody.
Mm-hmm.
She was a curious. They were a curious couple, really. They had very attractive, two very attractive daughters, and they lost a son then, mm-hmm. during that time.
Oh, did
during
they?
During the war.
Did they?
Yes.
Was he in the services?
Yes.
What was he in? I didn't know.
He was killed in Saint-Jean-Baptiste Day, about when we were, they had sports at Littlehampton,
mm-hmm.
down there in the south, and I remember Guy Turner telling us that, the boy had been killed. I forget which one it was. Ian or... I didn't know the boys too well. We'd was known them in Ottawa, but...
Was he in the Air Force or something of that nature? Or?
I think he was, yeah. But so many of our friends lost boys. The Alexanders lost a boy, and the Forts lost a boy, and the Northerns and the Sutherland Browns. I think they all did. Just at that age, you know, it was really sad.
Well, I gather from your husband that in 41, let me see now, would this be in, no, either late 40, early 41, but late, more especially in late 40, when the 2nd Division began to come over.
General Potts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That there was...
General Potts, was it?
No, Price for the 2nd Division. And then, let's put it this way, as the number of Canadian troops in England began to increase, there was a decision to form a corps, and McNaughton, it was realized, he became corps commander, and then he'd be bounced up to army commander.
Yes.
And there was a pretty good expectation, I gather, almost an understanding from what I can gather, between McNaughton and your and
that he'd have the division.
That he would have the corps after he had the division. That he would go up to corps, as indeed he was.
Yes.
Acting corps commander for a number of months, quite a number of months.
Mm-hmm.
And then Crear came over to take the corps.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, my husband was there to understand and told that he would have it.
Have the corps.
Yes. And then General Crear came over. They were great friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Verse Crear and Mrs. McNaught were tremendously, very, very close.
Well, the Crears and McNaught.
Yes.
I see.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happened, but I think that he came out. He was offered something else or something, and he came out to the Pacific here. Said my husband did.
Yeah.
Yes. But he certainly had been led to believe, I don't think McNaughton really stuck to his word.
Well, of course, this decision would be made in Ottawa. And
yes.
Now, some people, and I've had this from some of the people I was interviewing in Ottawa in June.
Yeah.
And they suggested to me that one of the reasons why he didn't get the corps overseas but was sent to command the Pacific area was owing to his outspoken opposition to the DF raid.
Yes, yes, he was quite against that. It was, he was very definite about that.
When did you hear about this? Did this come later? It wouldn't have come before the DF raid.
No, he was quite against it, and they carried it out, and it was a terrible thing.
I understand that the 1st Division, well, let's put it this way, that he didn't tell them. I mean, he didn't disobey an order or anything like that, but he made it plain that the 1st Division wasn't going to be used in that
school
raid.
That's right, exactly.
Did he speak to this about this to you later or not? About his
I forget when. I think it was about that time. But he certainly went up to Yorkshire or something like that at the time, I think. Raid. He wouldn't have any part of it. Then Ham Roberts was in command and he was made the goat, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor little chap.
There's a rather interesting series of events just about this time. The DF raid was in 1942.
Yes. Well, it was sort of an experiment, but what a terribly costly one.
What a way to experiment.
What a terrible thing. Really.
I'd like to know. I'd be interested to know, and I don't know if I'll ever find out why it was that he was up at Yorkshire at that time. Although he might come back just either the day after or the very day or something of that nature.
It was in the evening, I think, that day or something, yes.
Because he spoke to me about being down at the dock summer when the people were coming past.
Yes.
Would you have any note of that in your diary for that year?
Yes, I remember he came back and brought me a scarf and was very exercised. Does the captain remember?
All the shot on the 15th of August. Promoted July canteen.
Who was that was promoted?
Hardigan Hall.
I see.
Sherry party at Heathfield on the 4th of August. Cocktail party on the 5th, divisional headquarters, supper there. And that he went to the Finns. And they had a place near Storrington on the coast, their Finn. He was head of the that part of the coast defense.
Oh, I see.
Thin.
How do you spell his name again?
Thynne.
Thin.
Battle. I used the bicycle a lot in those days.
Mm.
Down to Battle.
Oh, near Hastings.
Yes, that's right, yes. Army Sports at Aldershot, the 15th of August. But I was down there at the time of the Dieppe raid, and I haven't got it down.
But you, well, this is quite possible. You know,
I have just blanks here. He went to London on the 31st of August to call. Oh, well, he left on the 1st of September at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That was to come back here.
Mm-hmm.
And Rod called, Rod Keller. Mm-hmm. He helped. He helped me with my luggage. Yes, and then we went to London on the 4th, and Bill Bostock met us there. And I think... Yes, I am afraid I haven't got the battle, the Dieppe raid.
But you,
but I was staying there definitely, and I sailed on the Queen Elizabeth on the 9th of September. And I'm sorry, I haven't got the Dieppe raid down here. It was too big a thing, I think, to write about.
It could be.
It was terrible.
But as far as you remember, he would be back in the evening. You think.
Well, he left, and I say he left. That is to go back to. Canada.
On the first, I think, did you say first or second?
See to London and left at 6 o'clock in the morning. He went to London on the 31st and then he left on the 1st. He flew.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right.
Was this something of a surprise to
him? Yes, it was all very sudden. But I was waiting to go back anyway. And to come back,
mm-hmm.
I had booked, you see,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know when they could fit me in. And I came on the Queen Elizabeth. They had accommodation then, and they notified me. I didn't know what to, it was. Just the number of a ship. They didn't give names, you know. It was all very secret. Mm-hmm. But I was waiting at Heathfield for the ship, and then he. Had this discussion or whatever it was and decided that he would come out to the Pacific.
Well, now, I'm not too clear on one point. You had decided to come back in
1942
anyway.
That's right.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I see.
John was at the school at Colwell,
mm-hmm.
but Mrs. Singleton, the head was sort of matron, the headmaster's wife,
mm-hmm.
was matron, and she was ill. Wasn't well at all,
mm-hmm.
and the rationing was very hard at the school,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't think John seemed very well, and I thought it would be better if we were back in Canada. We didn't help at all. It was, mm-hmm. you know, just two extras, and
so
we decided to come back, and then my husband got this word to come back to Pacific Command.
Do you remember him coming home after he had received word? And telling you about it, or?
Vaguely. He probably told me over the telephone. He wasn't there, you see, he was staying near.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see very much of him. He was busy all the time.
What did you do?
He flew back. I was delighted. He flew back and was in Victoria before we arrived, of course, mm-hmm. naturally. But the army sports at Aldershot were the last thing we went to, I think.
Do you remember, this is something I forgot to ask him, I don't know if you know, quite frankly. Do you remember who told him? Would it be, I suppose it would be McLaughlin, would it be?
I think so,
yeah.
Yes. But I think he decided that Queer was the man.
Mm-hmm.
Who was,
And yes, Queer was there. Queer,
yes.
Queer
he
was
came over, and they
time.
Had arranged that, I think, that Queer
yeah.
would step in.
Yeah.
I think it was all prearranged, but he had been led to believe, he'd been told, definitely, that he was going to...
Yeah.
So it was a bit disappointing.
Yes, to put it mildly, and my
Yes, a raw deal.
A pretty raw deal.
Oh, it was, definitely.
Yeah. And it sounds...
Because he really got them right up into very wonderful shape.
Yeah. And next to McNaughton, I don't know of anybody in the Canadian Army, including Quirre, who had the...
No.
The background, the experience.
Well, that's right. Of course, Quirre was a soldier who sat at a desk, behind a desk, and didn't get around. So, he was a great schemer.
Well, he was sitting right in Ottawa.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. And they were very, very, you know, Mabel and Burst Quirre were very... But that's the way things are done, I think, very often, you know.
Yeah. What about your trip back? Incidentally, how much time?
It was a lovely... No, that's all right. It was a beautiful trip back. We came on the Queen Elizabeth, and it took 5 days. Of course, no convoy, just alone. A convoy up north was being torpedoed, and they were busy up there. But we zigzagged quite a bit. We got over to New York in no time at all. 5 days, I thought.
Lovely.
Wonderful trip. Of course, the ship was all with soldiers coming back and been turned into a... It was like a hospital ship, rather. A lot of casualties. And I went to see the... they turned the swimming pools into a hospital and the dining rooms into regular canteens. All troop ship, completely. But they said that the Red Cross packages, sterilized Red Cross things, were marvelous that they had the doctors to use. The most useful things. And I saw a lot of the soldiers who were badly wounded. One man had both hands and both feet frozen off. And he was walking around his bed on his elbows and his knees, poor man. Quite young. He was up at Murmansk, I think. But I think that's where General Potts went, wasn't
it?
Up north? Yes. But then another man jumped overboard. And, of course, there's nothing they could do about it. They had a court of inquiry. But you couldn't turn around and find anyone. But it was pretty depressing, that ship.
Did you meet anybody on board that you knew?
Oh, yes. It was Gordon MacDonald, who married Helen Foreman here. He was on board. And a Campbell, who'd been on doing some job overseas from Calgary, was on board. And several other people. I played bridge with them, I think.
No.
Because it was when we were playing bridge that this man, they said this man got... jumped overboard.
Now you
but it was funny to have white bread when we got on board ship.
Oh, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Not only white bread, but meat and everything.
We went aboard at Greenock, went out in a tender, and I just saw the name Queen Elizabeth. You know, it was all camouflaged, and you could see the name. I didn't know what, it was ship number something, but it was the Queen Elizabeth. 12 decks. I thought I'd lose John from the time he got on board. Yes, but he was 11 years old then, 42,
When you got back from New York, did you have any... Did you come
directly? We landed in New York and stayed at the Commodore, and there was a heat wave. It was very hot in September, terribly hot. And we were wearing sort of warm things for the sea, you know. So we really suffered. We went to the hotel and had showers, and we'd go out and see something of the Grand Central Park, go back and have a shower. And I remember John saying, oh, Mummy, you smoke, what cigarettes do you like? He said, everybody's smoking Pall Mall, king size. But...
Were you there very long in New York?
We caught the train there. The Commodore's right at the Grand Central Station, you know, and we came back. By Ottawa, I think. Came up.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And it was a nice trip. Very pleasant to be back.
You would come straight up to Victoria.
And then we came straight out to Victoria, yes.
And
by train.
What would you do then? Stay with your parents?
Well, we came out and we took a house. It was my parents' house, as a matter of fact, I think. Oh, we stayed with them. Yes, we stayed with them, I think. But then, of course, they were moved to Vancouver.
September, October, they moved over to Jericho, you see.
Mm.
So we rented the house that the Andy Grahams had. It's on 4th Avenue, Drummond Drive, Blanca, and Belmont.
I see.
We rented that for a year. And it was just above Jericho. He walked down every day. Mm. Very handy.
Mm.
And we had the ADC and his wife living with us. Because
mm-hmm.
they had no place to stay.
Did he bring his ADC and with him?
No.
Or did that be a new ADC?
A new one, yeah. It was Shields. His name was Shields, I think. And then we had Sales, Bob Sales, too.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed with us.
ADCs
were sort of... No, the ADCs were changing, you see, then.
Oh, I see.
New ones. We had Sales, we had Shields, and the Shields were in the gardener's cottage. We fixed that up. And then we had the the garage, the chauffeur's quarters, were occupied by this artist brother, what's his name, Roy Shadbolt.
Oh,
you know, Shadbolt,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And he was working at Boeing's then, Roy Shadbolt.
I see.
So they were in the garage. We had these other people in the gardener's cottage. We had a spare room. And John went to the University Hill School
mm-hmm.
on a bicycle, you know, mm-hmm. and just in the university grounds, you know.
Oh,
right?
Well, well.
Mm-hmm. Then we bought a house just above, about the same position on 4th Avenue, at the top of the hill, Blanca, up Blanca.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we stayed until he retired in 45.
Oh, I see.
From the army.
I see.
Then he sold that and bought the one on Tattersall here that we now still own.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, I wonder if you got the same impression as I did. Of course, you came back in September of 42. I came back in...
September 42, yes.
You know, I came
John went to St. Michael's School here for a short time.
Oh,
well, we were in Victoria. Yeah.
But did you find Canada a sort of a land of tremendous wealth? I mean,
Was
right into there.
Oh, I know. What a difference.
Yeah, the war
and people went to bed without wondering whether they'd get up in the morning, you know, be blown to pieces.
Yeah.
Never a thought of an alert during the night or anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. It's so different.
Mm-hmm. I remember being very impressed by that, too, as I said,
indeed.
Before I went back again.
Oh, Canada's a lovely country. There are no two ways about it. It's just beautiful.
What about, at this time, would his mother still be alive or not?
Oh, yes.
She was?
Oh, yes.
And Hilda?
She only died last, a year ago, you know.
Oh, did she?
Yes.
Oh,
she was 98. Oh, yes, she only died a year before last.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Did you see anything of her when you came back? I suppose you would,
yes.
Of course.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
but they didn't know anything about the war at all, really. They had no idea.
And you spoke of England. They would think of the England in 1930.
That they remembered years ago, yeah. Oh, totally different. Mm-hmm.
But Hilda, did she still have the...
she had the farm, yes.
Still had it.
Yes. She had about 60 head of cattle, and the foreman, Bill Taylor, has it now. He bought it on terms, I suppose, or something. And they live on the Mount Newton crossroad. They bought that house. And she's still living there. She's just been in the hospital, had another operation, tumor removed, yes. And she's now convalescing and doing very well, quickly, like, picked right up beautifully, yes.
This again is a leap through 2 decades or so, but what about his brother? The last time I heard of him.
Oh, he's in Sacramento. He was terribly badly burnt.
Yes, this is the last time I heard of him.
Well, he's had skin grafts, and he really has, there's no future really for him, you know. He's a bachelor, but he's in pain nearly all the time. He was very badly burnt, I think, on the shoulder and the arm and... he's had skin grafts. They're quite pleased with him and so forth, but... oh, yeah. Very.
I think I'd better end now, and we'll get the... Oh, I think two things. The life in Vancouver, being 42, 43, and 44.
Yeah.
And let's see, from there, you go on... to the period when he resigned, I think that's February 45.
In 45, yeah. Spring.
So that I'm just about there with
then
now.
The election takes place in the autumn, in the summer. 45.
45.
That's when he ran, yes.
I see.
But while we were in Vancouver, they wanted me to head up the Allied Officers Club. That is a place for officers to coming in, you know, back and forth and so on, to have for meals or to find billets from there, the way the soldiers did with Beulah Brown was doing the billeting. Near the cathedral there, they had for the men this very nice place where they could, have a little relaxation and find billets and to get any information and just go and rest. The Allied Officers Club was the same sort of idea. And we had, we staffed it. We had a lot of members, 500 members at least. Yes, and they all took turns in going on shift for the cooking and the serving and arranging. There were different things, you see, for billets and for entertainment and so forth. And it was a place where they could go and enjoy sitting and reading and writing. And it now is the Technocracy place opposite the Art Center on Georgia.
Oh, well.
A very good spot.
Well,
and
be.
Bill Swan and Stanley O'Kell were tremendous help in doing things for the place. Of course, Swan was an engineer, and the place was adapted beautifully. Running this. And they wanted me to be president because they felt that nobody would snipe at me. It was started in a little place by Mrs. Martin, I think it was, or Mrs. something Martin, I really forget her name. But anyway, she got an awful lot of criticism, you know, how some people do. And so they decided they wanted me to head it up because they felt nobody would snipe at me. So I did that for 42, 43, 44 long time. And it was very pleasant work, feeling that these men had something to do. It was so expensive for them to go to a hotel or anything like that. Wartime, you know, we have to have these special things. So that's what I was doing during the time in Vancouver.
Incidentally, did you get any trips down to California with him when he went?
No. He went to San Francisco and different places. And had to go off onto different trips up north, and there was the Kiska thing. And
you have records of dates of his coming and going on that in your diary,
yes,
do you?
Yes.
Oh, good. I think, I believe he must have looked through them because he had.
Yes, I went through them with him.
Yes. We were checking.
And I've got dates pretty well.
Yeah.
He went to Ottawa on some occasions and so forth.
Good.
Well, I hope that's been of
some
help.
Yes, it's helped to fill in the domestic scene no end.
Yeah.
I mean, it's